Hold it. The Golden State Warriors are the 2015 NBA champions. Their first title in 40 years.
For the first time since 1954, the Giants are world champions.
And you tell them one thing, just win, baby.
I'd say it's today's golden days.
Just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, golden, golden.
Bay's Golden Days. I'm Marcus Boucher, back along with my boy Alan Flores.
Oh, yeah.
Back again to bring you another NFL Straight Cash podcast for week 12 of the 2018 NFL season, where we're going to go down and break down every game from the Sunday slate against the point spread, give you the over-under, give you our money line lock of the week, give you our upset specials. We just did have Thanksgiving this Thursday, so we had three games played. All the favorites covered this Thursday, so let's try to get you some favorites that are going to cover this weekend. I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving weekend, but the weekend's not over because there's more football. There's still 12 games to go this Sunday and Monday. A bunch of division matchups. We got 8 division matchups this week. We got the Raiders taking on the Ravens. We got the 49ers taking on the Buccaneers. Sunday night football, the Packers and the Vikings, and we ended off with Monday night football with the Titans and the Texans. So let's go ahead and get into this full Sunday slate. And Rand, Andy, let these people know what time it is.
Straight Cash, homie.
That's right. It's time for the Straight Cash podcast right here on the Bay's Golden Days Network. And you guys all know the routine by now. It's the Bay's Golden Days. We're starting in the Bay Area where the Raiders got a win last week. What did I say? Right here on this very podcast. Fuck you, Alan. You think you can pick right for the Raiders every single week. But what did I tell you guys? This was going to be the one game on our schedule that the Raiders could win. And guess what? The Raiders won and won you some money right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast. That's right. They covered the spread, got the upset victory on the road by beating the Arizona Cardinals 23-21. Derek Carr and John Gruden get into arguments on the sideline, choking a bitch out, maybe not choking them out. I don't care. I just want the W because this, like I said, was the only win we were going to get this year, and we got it. People are coming up to me like, oh, don't you want the Raiders to lose? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it would be nice for draft picks, but I'm right here with Derek Carr. Derek, go ahead and screw up our draft picks. Win as many games as you can. Try to get us some momentum from last year, because after everything that we've been through this season, this W was crucial. It was huge to get a W against the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, I don't want to be considered the very, very worst team in the league, even though we are in that bottom bracket right now. But hey, at least now I can talk a little shit to Niner fans saying, hey, we beat the team that beat you twice. Oh! But let's go ahead and move on to this weekend's matchup. We got the Raiders taking on the Ravens in Baltimore. And the Ravens are a huge 11.5-point favorite. And I told you guys, if the Raiders didn't cover last week, I was going to be done betting on them the whole entire season. But they won. So here I am, and I'm back. And I think the Raiders got a chance to cover the spread this weekend against the Ravens. 11.5 points is a lot for a Ravens team that couldn't even cover the spread last week against the Bengals. They did get the win 24-21 in Lamar Jackson's first start. Lamar Jackson will be back starting this weekend against the Raiders, and he's going to tear this Raiders defense up. But I think the Raiders are going to be able to keep it close enough, and Lamar Jackson really hasn't proven anything in the passing game yet, so I don't think he's going to put up 2-3 passing touchdowns. I think he's going to have 1-2 rushing touchdowns. But if the Raiders with Derek Carr can keep it close, 11.5 points is a lot. And the Baltimore Ravens are 1-10 against the spread as home favorites of more than 8 points since the start of the 2010 season. So when they're expected to win big, they don't always win big. And the Ravens are one of the teams that they're going to grind you out with their defense anyways. So I think it's going to be closer than the point spread might say. I'm taking the Ravens on the money line. But for the points, Al, I might have to stick with my Raiders plus 11.5.
Oh, sorry, guys. Man, I'm still full from food yesterday. You know, hope you guys had a good Thanksgiving. You know what? Fortunately, this is how we're going to start it. We're going to start it with agree to agree. You know why? Because not only is it 11 points, it's 11.5 points. It's one thing to have double digits. It's another thing to have a hook on there. And yes, Lamar Jackson will have a big game. And I will say this, Raiders defense could allow a passing touchdown. Maybe two.
Yep.
Don't put it behind you. Don't do it. Even though he ran pretty good last week, the Bengals defense is still shit. So, with that being said, yeah, maybe he should have gotten a passing touchdown. But we shall see on this Raiders DB's core, because I think it could happen. But I don't think that they can cover that 11.5-point spread. I think I'm just going to end it right there and just say Raiders.
Yeah, I'm with the Raiders in the revenge game against Michael Crabtree. That's going to be a huge matchup on the outside versus our DBs if Lamar Jackson's going to be able to get anybody the ball. But they ran the ball more than they passed the ball last game. So maybe Paul Gunther comes out, saw what they just did to his ex-Cincinnati Bengals team, and comes out with a game plan to stop the run. I mean, someone's going to have to stack 8, 9, 10 guys in the box against Lamar Jackson sooner rather than later. We'll see if the Raiders are able to do that this weekend. And hey, the numbers are on our side, because underdogs of more than 10 points are 11-4 against the spread since 2009 when coming off a road victory. So hey, the Raiders are as hot as they're going to be all year. This is the peak of the pinnacle of the Raiders' success. We got to win over the Cardinals, and I think we'll cover the spread. We like the Ravens on the money line, but that's just too many points for our taste, and so go ahead and take the Raiders plus 11.5 this week. Then we'll go ahead and jump over to the other side of the bay, where the San Francisco 49ers will be actually traveling across country to take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Jameis Winston. Yes, you heard me correctly. Jameis Winston is back as the starting quarterback. Almost had a second-half comeback against the Giants last week, lost 38-35. I mean, the Buccaneers just can't figure it out. They either start one quarterback, and that guy sucks, but whoever comes in at halftime balls out. So they just need to find a first quarter quarterback, a first half quarterback, somebody. I mean, shit, because Jameis Winston balled out in the second half, but will he ball out against his San Francisco 49ers team that has had 2 weeks to prepare for this Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense? Because when you look at the numbers, technically, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are like one of the top three offenses in yards per game. They obviously don't get into the end zone. What, we had that stat where they had over 500 yards, but only scored 3 points the week before. I mean, the Buccaneers are one of the most inconsistent teams, but they got Mike Evans, got DeSean Jackson. O.J. Howard is on the IR now, so if you need a fantasy tight end, maybe search for Cameron Bray on the waiver wires if you can get him this week. But man, this is a tough game to call, with the Buccaneers being a 3.5-point favorite, especially with that half-point hook. If it was 2.5, 3 points, I might be going with the Buccaneers. But I think this might be a close game, with Kyle Shanahan having 2 weeks to prepare to be able to carve up this Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense. I might have to take the 49ers in the points plus 3.5 just to protect myself, just in case the Tampa Bay Buccaneers do win with the field goal, which I could see happening. Ah, man, I'm not too confident in this pick, Al, but I might have to stick with taking the Niners plus 3.5 against Jameis Winston, Fitzpatrick, or whoever the hell is playing quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this weekend.
Yeah, who really cares who's going to be the quarterback? Because the thing is, like you said, both these quarterbacks are just throwing the ball, and whoever's fucking thrown to is getting caught. Unfortunately, they are missing O.J. Howard. He has been put on the IR. That's been kind of a vital success to their offense a little bit. And not to mention, practically their whole defense is just shut down.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only reason why I'm going to take the Niners, because Mullins, he might just actually shut this whole fucking defense out. I mean, they're missing quite a few people. Lavonte David, Justin Evans, Ryan Jensen, they all did not participate in practice. I don't see this defense coming up. I just don't see it. No. I'm going to have to go with the Niners on this one.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And then obviously you named a couple linebackers. Quan Alexander still done for the year. I mean, this Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense is truly depleted. So that's why I like this over. It is set a little high for my tasting with the 49ers for 55 points. But you got the Buccaneers who can score points. And then you got Shanahan who can score 21 to 28 points on pretty much anybody, just scheme-wise. What do you think about the over in this game set at 55 points, Al?
Yeah, don't let the 55 fool you. That's going to happen. I mean, look, everyone was like, oh my God, the Chiefs and Rams 63. You seen what the fuck they did last week. So I think that this could happen, considering, again, Buccaneers putting up the most yards on offense. So, I mean, they can probably turn that into touchdowns against this Niners defense. So, yeah, I do like the 55 over. I'm definitely going to take that one, boys.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And the over has actually hit 14 out of 18 games in which San Francisco has played following a bye week since the start of the 2000 season. So, like I said, 2 weeks to prepare. That should be 2 weeks to put up some points and cover that over. We're taking the Niners plus the points, 3.5, and the over of 55. And then let's go ahead and move on to the rest of the Sunday slate as we start off with a division matchup. Like I said, 8 division matchups throughout this week, 12 of NFL action. Let's start it off in the AFC North, where we got the Cleveland Browns taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. And what did I say about those Bengals? They are not representative of what their record has shown all year. They were 5-2 just a couple weeks ago. Now they're sitting at 5-5 after losing to the Ravens last week, 24-21. And news is not getting better for the Cincinnati Bengals, because A.J. Green is still not practicing this week. He's doubtful to play again. So, I mean, honestly, who's the offense? Joe Mixon, he came out this week and said, I'm tired of playing not to lose instead of trying to win. Well, they're going to have to try to get a win against Hugh Jackson's former team this week, the Cleveland Browns. Hugh Jackson will be on the sideline. So I think that might give a little bit motivation to these Cleveland Browns players who said either, hey, we didn't like Hugh Jackson, or now we got to go prove that we were better than what we were when we had Hugh Jackson. So the Cleveland Browns now having 2 weeks to prepare, coming off a bye week. I might be smelling an upset, Al. I know I've been hot on the Cleveland Browns all year long. Nick Chubb is quickly becoming one of my favorite running backs in the league, and I think he's going to absolutely tear up this Cincinnati Bengals defense that still has a bunch of injury questions on the defense side of the ball. And they just let Gus Edwards run for, what, 100 yards and a touchdown last week from the Ravens? I mean, who the hell is Gus Edwards? I don't know, but I know who Nick Chubb is, and I'm going to have a full Chubb this weekend because I'm taking the Cleveland Browns to get the upset over the Cincinnati Bengals +3 this week, Al.
Yeah, you know, again, as a Steeler fan, I'm seeing another divisional game where two teams are just going to fucking tear each other apart for no reason because they all know that the Steelers are going to do that. With that being said, I'm going to say the Browns because of motivation reasons. Bengals don't look like they want to play. I mean, I said that about the Titans. I mean, I was wrong about the Titans, but I don't fuck with the Titans in our division. I know the Bengals. The Bengals have just been getting creamed. They have no motivation to play. Browns? They got all the motivation. The more the wins, the more they could say that they did better in their season. And who better than to do it on a divisional team? Nick Chubb is a fucking beast, okay? A beast. I'm a little mad that I let him go in the fantasy pick, but oh well. And what is the over on that, Mark?
Over-under is set at 47.5 this week.
Yeah, see, I like that because, yeah, sure, they're not getting AJ Green, but still. Tyler Boyd has been filling those shoes a little bit, doing enough. Not enough to win, but doing enough to, you know, show that he is a vital threat. But, yeah, honestly, when it comes to AJ Green being out, guys, then you should just honestly just pick whoever the Bengals play. As simple as that. Dalton can't really get anything going. He gets Boyd his yards, but he can't get into the end zone with AJ Green out. It's just not going to happen. I see Baker Mayfield just tearing this defense up along with Nick Chubb. Jarvis Landry is probably going to shit on these quarterbacks, probably going to break an ankle or two. Njoku is questionable. I do wish to see him, fantasy purposes. But I think we're going to have to agree with the Browns, seeing a lot of agreeing here.
Yeah, I like the Browns this week for the upset. I mean, I've been on them all year long, picking them for a couple upset picks to cover the spread. They have been one of the few teams that actually has a winning record against the spread this year. I like the Cleveland Browns to be rolling. I mean, the numbers say that Cincinnati is 7-1 against the spread in games played against Cleveland since the start of the 2014 season. But this isn't the same Cincinnati Bengals team that was in the playoffs in 2014. And this isn't the same Cleveland Browns team that didn't win a fucking game since 2014.
Exactly.
So with Baker Mayfield, Nick Chubb, Myles Garrett, Denzel Ward, all these young guys on the Browns, I'm taking them for the upset this week over to Cincinnati Bengals. And let's move on to another division matchup up here in the AFC East, where we got the New England Patriots taking on the New York Jets. Both teams coming off a bye week last week, so 2 weeks to prepare for another. But it was not enough time to get Sam Darnold back, as he is out again this week. And Josh McCown steps in once again for the New York Jets, taking on the Patriots, where the Patriots are a 9.5-point favorite on the road. That's a lot of points to be on the road. If they're at home, we're looking at a 12-13-point spread. It's going to be interesting to see what the Patriots getting Rob Gronkowski back this week. He's missed the past 3-4 weeks, and now finally Sonny Michel is healthy. He was banged up with a knee injury, came back the week before the bye. Now he's had a whole bye week to rest again. I think the Patriots are going to easily take care of the Jets, but 9.5? Man, that's approaching double digits in a division game. I'm for sure locking in the New England Patriots on my money line lock of the week. But against the spread, the Jets are 5-0 against the spread in home games played against the New England Patriots since the start of the 2013 season. Man, it's kind of sketchy with the point spread, but Josh McCown, you never know. Is he going to show up? Is he going to throw a couple picks? I mean, shit, a year ago, he threw for 350 yards on the Patriots. Barely lost the game 24-17, so it was a close game that lost less than double digits last year. Man, we're getting up there with these point spreads. Al, do you believe the Patriots are going to blow out the Patriots by double-digit points this week?
You know, the way I saw Brady play against the Titans, I just don't know if that was just a fuck-up that week or his age is really catching up to him now. I don't know. But, yeah, this is a tough one, especially being at New York, division game. Jets probably would want to play hella hard just to beat the Patriots. I mean, fucking Patriots always having a fucking easy schedule just by their divisional games. They got the easiest schedule just because of this. So the only thing that makes me want to choose the Patriots still is because the fact that the Jets let 41 points to the Bills.
Yeah.
The Bills put up 41 while they couldn't even put up more than 10. So can you imagine Brady doing what he usually does on this Jets defense. I thought this Jets defense was actually going to be better than they're looking, but it is what it is. And because it's at 9.5, I will take the Patriots because it's not double digit. That hook kind of kills me, but like you said, with Rob Gronkowski coming back, got Julian Edelman back at full practice, they got Dwayne Allen limited in practice, but who cares about Dwayne Allen? The fact that they have Flash Gordon, who's been getting his role expanded every week. Every week he is getting more targets and more targets. Brady's going to try him the way he tried Cooks, and they just might cook this Jets defense.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you. Even though the numbers would suggest that the Jets are the better pick against the spread here. Like I said, 5-0 against the spread in home games played against the New England Patriots since the start of the 2013 season. And the Patriots have actually only covered the spread in only two of their past 10 games against the Jets. But I don't think we got to overthink it here. The Patriots coming off a bye, they should be better than ever. Getting Gronk back, like I said, Sonny Michel healthy now. And the Jets, after losing to the Bills, that was probably the worst Jets team I've seen since Mark Sanchez was out there with the butt fumble on Thanksgiving. I mean, I just don't want to overthink this, so I'm going to go ahead and stick with the Patriots, especially on the money line. If we're taking points here, I might just take them by 9.5 because there's no way I'm betting on the Jets with Josh McCown, and especially off that pitiful performance that they showed up against the Bills before their bye week.
And for the over, I do see the Patriots covering themselves alone. Remember I said that, folks.
46 points. Patriots going to hang it on them. And if they hang up 46 points, I can guarantee you they're covering that 9.5-point spread because there's no way the Jets are putting up 30 points with Josh McCown.
Absolutely.
And then let's go ahead and move on to another division matchup. Like I said, tons of division matchups. This one is taking place in the NFC East where we got the New York Giants taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. And man, oh man, what did we tell you about the Eagles? They're getting shot out the sky, not flying no more. No fly, eagle, fly. As we told you, the Saints were going to put it on them. It was, what, the largest point spread for defending Super Bowl champion ever? But we told you, still take the Saints, still take the points. And they absolutely embarrassed the defending champions 48-7. Yes, the Eagles' 41-point loss to the Saints this past weekend was the worst ever suffered by a defending Super Bowl champion. So it was the worst spread ever, and it was the worst beating ever, and the Saints covered, and man, oh man, I don't even know what to say about the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't know what to say about this matchup because this whole NFC East is still wide open. What, the Cowboys just moved into first place by winning on Thanksgiving against the Redskins. The Redskins now with no Alex Smith got Colt McCoy playing quarterback. The New York Giants got Eli. Don't know what the hell he's doing. And the Philadelphia Eagles, they won a Super Bowl based off defense, but their whole defense is banged up. I mean, their whole defensive backfield is literally torn to pieces, and I don't know how that's going to match up well against Odell Beckham Jr. I mean, he should have a huge day because who the hell's going to guard this guy? And then the D-line hasn't been playing up to standard, so Saquon Barkley could just run all over him. I mean, I honestly don't know what to do in this game. I was surprised that the Eagles were favored by 6 points. I've seen 7 points on some spreads, and I might just have to take the Giants plus the points just because it's a divisional game. I think they'll keep it close. They got the win last week over the Buccaneers 38-35, so they do have a little bit of momentum. And shit, Odell Beckham said, hey, we're just going to win 8 games in a row and win this NFC East, and they could do it because that's how bad this division has been all year long. So honestly, I don't know who to pick. I would have never thought I'd be taking the Giants over the Eagles, the defending Super Bowl champion Eagles, but the Eagles have been so banged up this year. I just think this is going to be a low-scoring game where I don't think either team's going to win by a touchdown. So I'm going to take the Giants plus 6 points just to protect myself. And I like the under of 46 because, honestly, I don't think neither of these offenses are really that great. Or, I mean, I just think this is going to be a slow-grinding defensive type of game where there might be turnovers, might be the first team to 21 points wins the game, and I just don't see this going over 46, Al.
You know what? I do. And I do because this will be a divisional game. I mean, 46, that's actually surprising. I thought this game was going to be a lot higher than that as far as over. But, yeah, we definitely got to take the underdog Giants. I mean, they tore up this Buccaneers defense, who I think is better than this Eagles defense lately. And the Eagles, like you said, I mean, Rasul Douglas, Jordan Hicks, Sidney Jones, Avante Maddox, Jalen Mills did not participate. They're all just not participating in practice. So you know damn well Odell, Sterling Shepard, and Ingram is probably going to get a touchdown each. Eli Manning has looked a lot better than we've been saying, you know, despite saying that he looks like he has Down syndrome. But he's been looking like he can throw the ball again. Odell has been shutting up, and he's been putting up numbers. He's been actually playing, guys. Who would have thought? His celebrations are still out of fucking whack, but you know what? Celebrate all you want as long as you're covering that spread. So, yeah, this being a divisional game, Giants are definitely going to win at least by 3. Because I don't see Wentz. You know what? Wentz has been a letdown. I don't know if it's Wentz or the people around him. Golden Tate ain't really helping him. I mean, the Saints defense ain't even all that better than the Giants defense. And for them to only put up 10 fucking points, was it 10 points last week against the Saints?
Only 7.
7. I mean, fucking Christ. The Falcons put up more than that. And the Falcons ain't even really looking good. So, yeah, I'm going to have to take the G-men. And, yeah, this is just disgusting. The Eagles' performance has been just terrible. I can't believe that this is the Super Bowl team from last year. So, Marcus, let's agree.
Yeah, let's agree. Let's take the Giants plus the 6 points because even if the Eagles do win, I don't see them winning by more than a touchdown. So protect yourself with the points and take the Giants plus 6. I mean, the Philadelphia Eagles, they're 1-5 against the spread versus teams with a losing record past the midway point of the season under head coach Doug Peterson. So, I mean, I just don't know what happened with the Eagles last year. I don't know what's happening with them this year. But that's why I said I didn't pick them to win a playoff game last year. They remind me of the San Francisco Giants. They're a wild card team who just was hot and got in at the right time and ended up winning the whole thing, and now they fall apart and they're not even gonna make the playoffs in the years that they don't win it. But man, that's for a whole nother podcast. We're getting into dynasty discussions and everything. Yeah. But for this week, we'll go with the dynasty killers. That's the New York Giants, who ended up beating the Patriots and ended their dynasty. Well, looks like they're gonna beat another Super Bowl champion this weekend. Go ahead and take the Giants plus 6 points. Moving on to our next game of the week. This is gonna be an interesting one. This could have some playoff implications as the Seattle Seahawks will travel to Carolina to take on the Panthers. The Panthers are favored by 3.5. Yes, another a hook on the point spread. Honestly, if you're listening to this podcast and if you can get a better point spread than we're telling you, obviously take it. If you can get this game at 3 points, obviously take it. For all these point spreads that are at 3.5, it might just be better to get a teaser going. Buy that half point, sacrifice a couple dollars just to get down to 3 points, a 1 point teaser, get down to 2.5, and I swear it will make life a whole lot easier. You won't get the biggest payout, but you'll be winning. And that's the most important thing, is to win. That's why I think it's interesting this weekend with the 3.5 point spread. I like the Panthers. Like I said, they've been undefeated at home. They've won 10 straight home games. They've covered the spread in all but two of those games. This could be a back and forth shootout between Cam Newton and Russell Wilson with the over under set at 47. This is one of my favorite overs of the week. I definitely think this can go over with the way that both these defenses have been letting up points lately. But this is interesting because the Panthers, they lost a big game last week to the Lions 20-19 after failing a 2-point conversion. I mean, I guess Riverboat Ron is known for going for two. He was on the road, wanted to get the win. Not the greatest play call by Cam Newton sitting in the pocket for like 5-10 seconds. Should have just ran for the touchdown. But I mean, shit. Can't cry over spilt milk. What's in the past is what's in the past. But I like the Panthers at home. They do have a few injuries. Devin Funches is dealing with a back injury. But I don't want Cam Newton throwing the ball either, because he's got Torrey Smith coming back. And he had a huge breakout game from DJ Moore this past weekend. I look for him to have a big game against the Seattle Seahawks defense, who we've mentioned it before. They don't really have anybody left from this Legion of Boom defense. I mean, they still got Bobby Wagner, but his partner in crime, KJ Wright, he's hurt again. He'll be out for another week, so the Seattle Seahawks defense is still banged up. They have been running the ball great these past couple weeks. It's going to be interesting to see how Luke Kuechly and Star Lucelli and that whole Carolina Panthers defense led by Julius Peppers and all those veterans try to slow down this run offense. But 3.5 points, I'm just going to have to resort to pretty much my preseason picks, where I had the Panthers as a playoff team, and honestly, I did not have the Seattle Seahawks as a playoff team this year. I mean, obviously, a lot of things have changed since the beginning of the season, but the Carolina Panthers are undefeated at home. They're 22-4 against the spread under head coach Ron Rivera when coming off a road loss. I think they bounce back this week, and I'm going to go ahead and take the Carolina Panthers minus 3.5 this week over the Seattle Seahawks.
I'm just going to get straight to it. I'm going to get the Seahawks plus 3.5. I just see Russell Wilson doing a lot better than Cam Newton because, like I've always said the past few weeks, you need a quarterback to win these games to lead you. Cam Newton just ain't that quarterback this season. This guy's inconsistent despite the records of these home spreads, whatever Marcus just read off. Cam Newton cannot be trusted. If they're going to win this game, it's going to be with Christian McCaffrey and the defense doing it. Because Cam Newton, I mean, just by looking at him throwing, I just feel like he doesn't even look at the guy that he throws to. I just feel like he just throws it as hard as he can and just hopes that the guy will catch it. I don't see the Panthers offense being this vital against the Seattle's defense. Despite their injuries, I still think Russell Wilson will do enough to get the job done because he's Russell Wilson. And you know what? Like you said, Marcus, the running game has been looking nice. Carson's back. Mike Davis is, he's been practicing, I think. He's a full participant now. Penny, Surprising. Good
Penny,
man.
Penny's playing.
Good man with Penny. Penny was actually a good one the last couple weeks. So, yeah, I got my more trust in Russell Wilson and his team than I do in Cam Newton and his team.
Hey, fair enough point. I mean, I think both these offenses can score points. Russell Wilson, we've talked about him being 90% of the team's offense. Well, this year, they're actually one of the few teams in the NFL that is running more than they're passing. So they're going back in old-school football where everybody's going to the passing league, passing the passing league. The Seattle Seahawks are going back to running the ball, but the Carolina Panthers, they're one of the best rushing teams in the league. Obviously, we've seen what Christian McCaffrey's been doing this year. Cam Newton, one of the best rushing quarterbacks in the league. I think both these offenses can put up points. That's why I definitely like the over of 47. Are you with me on the over there, Al?
I am with you on that one.
Well, that's good to hear because the numbers are with us also because the over is 8-1 in games that Carolina has played since the start of the 2016 season in games against teams averaging at least 24 points per game, and the Seahawks are averaging 24 points per game. So I think this is going to be a shootout. Allen might be getting the smarter bet here, getting the 3.5 points to cover with that field goal hook. But I think the Panthers at the end of the day are going to win. And like I said, if you can buy down that half point, do it. If you can take the Panthers on the money line, do it. If not, go ahead with Al and take the 3.5 points to protect yourself.
Baby.
But, hey, you know what it is. It's the Bay's Golden Days. Agree to disagree, baby. Why not spice it up a little bit in your
golden.
Life? Golden. Let's go ahead and keep on moving on to our next matchup of the week. We got the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Buffalo Bills and the all-exclusive nobody wants to watch this game of the week. It is the Toilet Bowl. It's the Buffalo Bills coming off a bye week. I mean, I haven't wanted to watch the Buffalo Bill game this whole entire season, but maybe some people will be interested in watching because they had their bye week last week. They're getting Josh Allen back. They just put the beating down on the Jets. I mean, is it time to circle the wagons? Nobody circles the wagons like the Bills, but I'm not circling this weekend. I'm going to go ahead and have to take the Jacksonville Jaguars, who almost pulled off the impressive victory against the Steelers last week. They ended up losing 20-16, but truly dominated the game through three quarters. Al, I know you're going to get all into this when we get to the Steelers breakdown, but they were winning 16-6 through three quarters of football. Ben Roethlisberger wasn't doing nothing. Juju and Antonio were pretty quiet, but I mean, shit. The Jacksonville Jaguars defense, they disappeared in the fourth quarter. And the Buffalo Bills, they've been disappearing all year. I mean, besides their win against the Jets last week, I don't think the Buffalo Bills are anywhere near the level of the Jacksonville Jaguars, even though Jaguars are 3-7. If they can contain Ben Roethlisberger for three quarters, they should have no problem containing Josh Allen for a full four quarters. So I'll go ahead and take the Jacksonville Jaguars by that stupid hook again and take the Jaguars by 3.5 points.
Yeah, just like you said, how this is going to be, what did you say, Nationals game not to watch of the week. Yeah, perfect description. But despite it being not game of the week, this might actually be the easiest pick of the week because you're really going to trust Josh Allen against this Jaguars defense? I mean, like Marcus said, I'll get into it when we get to the Steelers part, but I mean, Jaguars, what I seen last week was just, like, I don't know if they play with hunger and motivation because it's us or it's just because of their defense. Like, their defense is just too quick, too aware, and it's just too strong. And Josh Allen, no way in fucking hell is he going to fucking throw more than 2 touchdowns on this team, okay? The only way that they're going to fuck up this game, Jaguars I mean, is Blake Bortles. Blake Bortles cannot fucking throw the ball. He can't do anything to save his fucking career. I don't know why this guy still has a job. Fournette is going to be probably the player of the game because he's definitely probably going to rush over 100 yards. I mean, he almost ran almost 100 yards on us last week with a 95-yard performance. So I don't think I need to say no more in this, Marcus. This is the Jaguars and Bills. The easiest pick to me, Jaguars, baby.
Yeah, we're taking in Jaguars -3.5. This is the lowest over-under of the week, only 37.5 points. And this is where it starts getting tricky because we said, oh, easy under for the Jets and the Bills. But then the Bills had like 2 or 3 pick sixes. So the defense can put up points, so we don't know. So honestly, with the Bills-Jaguars, there could be a couple pick sixes or it could be a low-scoring shootout game where first one to score a touchdown wins. So honestly, I would just stay away from the over-under. Al, are you leaning in any direction here?
Yeah, I'm probably going to lean towards the over just because I see Fournette alone probably getting 2 tugs. So that's 14 points right there. I see the defense alone getting maybe a fumble recovery or a pick six. That's 21 points right there. And I could probably see the Jaguars just let up a couple plays and just let the Bills fucking score a touchdown out of nowhere. So, yeah, I think this
37.5.
I think this 37.5 over can happen. I mean, it's not impossible, but, yeah, you're more safe staying away from it. But this is just to the people, on my opinion, on if you were to pick, I'd probably go with the over.
Yeah, with that least amount of points, I mean, we've seen it in the NFL this year. It's been the highest scoring league of any year in the past history. So, maybe they can hit the over. I mean, the numbers are with us. The over is 4-1 in the last five games where the Buffalo Bills have played against the Jacksonville Jaguars since the start of the 2011 season. I'm assuming they were all low point spreads and low over-unders to begin with. So here's another one. And if you're going to bet and be degenerate, why not take the over? It's better rooting for points than rooting against points. So that's always my saying. So let's go ahead and keep on moving now to our next matchup of the week. We got the Miami Dolphins taking on the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts are favored by 8.5 points last week after absolutely routing the Titans 38-10 to win you some money right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast. What did we say? Andrew Luck was the best quarterback in that division. Hell, if you combine the AFC South and the AFC East, I'm putting Andrew Luck right up there with Tom Brady. So he's easily number one or number two in the half of the AFC. I mean, the AFC North and the AFC West seems like they have more of the competitive divisions, obviously. But this is another matchup where the Miami Dolphins will be coming off a bye week. They could be getting Ryan Tannehill back this week. But I said it once before, and I said it again. I don't care if it's Ryan Tannehill. I don't care if it's Brock Osweiler. I don't care if it's Dan Marino coming out for the Dolphins. I'm sticking with Andrew Luck and the Colts. I don't care if it's a big point spread, 8.5 points. I got no faith in Miami Dolphins offense or defense. I mean, they're pretty much bottom of the league in both categories. They got Kenyon Drake and Devontae Parker. They're two biggest offensive weapons. They were limited and banged up all week, so who knows if they even play. I mean, Ryan Tannehill, is he going to have any weapons besides OG Frank Gore in the backfield? I don't think so. The Colts are hotter than ever, 5-5, trying to make a push for that AFC South title. I'm sticking with Andrew Luck, this offensive line, T.Y. Hilton, Darius Leonard on the defense side of the ball, and I'm going with the Indianapolis Colts minus 8.5 points this week over the Miami Dolphins, Al.
Yeah, so you know, in my opinion, I feel like the Dolphins' defense is pretty much like the same as the Titans' defense. For some reason, I don't know why, I feel like they got just enough players to make some impact, but just still fall out. So, with that being said, if Andrew Luck put up 38 on the Titans, he's probably going to put up 38 or more on the Dolphins. You know what? It's going to piss me off because I know that there's people who probably didn't listen to us and took the opposite, didn't take the Colts. Some of you people are actually Andrew Luck haters, I bet. So, you know what? You need to listen to us and listen to us now. Andrew Luck is the truth, okay? Everyone thought he was going to be injury prone, but look at him. He fucking just straight annihilated the Titans defense. Him and T.Y. Hilton look like fucking Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. That's what they look like. Just a dynamic duo. That's what they look like, okay? So we're going to take the fucking Colts. I don't think we need to go any deeper on this one. We haven't been able to go any deeper on some of these picks, man. Some of these picks are just very automatic, and this one isn't automatic.
This one's automatic, but I will go deeper for you, Al, because this is the Bay's Golden Days number. We like to give you the inside numbers, you know, give you the runaround, give you everything you need to know, because you might be scared off by this 8.5-point spread, but the Miami Dolphins are 0-8 against the spread in away games following the loss since the start of the 2016 season, and it gets worse. The Miami Dolphins come into this one having lost each of its past four road games by an average margin of 20 points. So they're going on the road against a hot Andrew Luck. Yeah, I'm definitely taking them minus 8.5 points this week, and they should absolutely blow out the Dolphins, Al.
If it's 20 points, then they're definitely going to lose by 10, and all we need is 8.5. So that right there should already tell you, come on, take the Colts, baby.
That's all we need. I don't care if it's a big point spread or not. Hey, if that was double digits, that might be one of the double-digit spreads I'm comfortable going with. But let's go ahead and move on to another double-digit spread where the Los Angeles Chargers choked one away last week. What did we try to tell you? It's about that time of year. It doesn't matter if they've only lost two games to the best two teams in the league. They're going to turn around and choke eventually, and that's exactly what the Chargers did, losing a game to the Broncos last week, 23-22, to win you some money right here on the Bay's Golden Days, because we told you to take the Broncos in the points, baby. These division matchups are always tough. There was a big point spread, and I didn't think the Chargers were going to win by more than a touchdown. Hell, they didn't even win. So that's what we do right here on the Bay's Golden Days, break down every game for your division matchups, everything. And again, the Chargers are back with a big point spread, and it's by 12 points this week. And man, oh man, I know the Arizona Cardinals are bad. I know that they lost to the Raiders last week. But 12 points? I mean, man, this is tough, because I definitely think the Chargers are going to win. But the Chargers are not the team to blow out teams. I mean, they beat the Raiders 20-6 and not an impressive performance. I didn't think that was that great of a spread covering, even though it was a late touchdown. Then they come back, lose to the Broncos. I mean, they haven't been blowing teams out of the water. They're not the team who separates, and then we've seen it before. Either missed field goals or interceptions or some reason where Phillip Rivers is going to fuck up and go kamikaze. I mean, I just don't got too much faith in the Chargers to win by 12. Definitely lock it in for one of my money line locks of the week for the Chargers to win. but I might just have to take the Cardinals plus the points because we've seen them do it before this year. They covered that 17-point spread against the Chiefs earlier in the year. I think the Cardinals, with this defense, Chandler Jones getting some pressure on the quarterback, they might be able to keep it closer than that 12-point spread, Al.
Well, we all know what Phillip Rivers does with his little arm. You know, he gets the ball to anyone he throws it to. So while he's doing that against a team who is missing Deion Buchanan right now and Jonathan Ford. So I don't know. I mean, the only thing that the Cardinals really had was their defense. Like I said, with Buchanan, Patrick Peterson. Patrick Peterson might just have Keenan Allen's name, or Keenan Allen might have Patrick Peterson's name. So this one is a head-scratcher. Ultimately, I think I'm going to have to take the Chargers. I mean, losing a divisional game against the Broncos, they're probably going to be pissed. You know, they're probably going to play hard. It's still a head-scratcher because, like you said, Mark, this is that time of the year where the Chargers just want to choke like they got a hot dog down their throat. And it's just going to look ugly if they lose. But I'm going to fucking trust that son of a bitch, Rivers. I'm going to trust that he's going to be in that custom-made fucking car of his, watching his little playbook as a movie theater inside that car, and make sure that he gets the job done against this fucking injured defense, because I deemed it to be, okay? I need this win, so let's do it.
Hey, we'll see if the Chargers can do it this weekend. I definitely think they're going to win the game. Like I said, I'll have them in there as my money line lock of the week. But 12 points, I just don't see him covering. I mean, teams coming off an upset loss to a division rival are 2-10 against the spread since the start of the 2016 season. The Chargers sitting there 5-5 against the spread. The Cardinals are sitting there 5-5 against the spread. And the Arizona Cardinals are 8-0 against the spread when coming off back-to-back straight-up losses since the start of the 2016 season. I've mentioned it. They've been playing better under Byron Leftwich the past couple weeks. I think they keep it close, not close enough to win. I like the Chargers there, Al, but I just don't got faith in a 12-point spread. The over-under set at 44.5. If you think the Chargers are going to win by 12, I'm guessing you got to take the over at 44, correct?
Oh, yeah, I'll take that. I feel like Kirk and I feel like Fitzgerald, they are actually giving Rosen some opportunities to get some nice touchdowns, so I feel like this over will be good.
All right, we'll see what happens this weekend. Allen's sticking with the Chargers and the points. I'm sticking with the Chargers to win, but I do think the Cardinals plus the points is the better bet of the week. But, hey, let's get to Allen's best bet of the week, and that's the Pittsburgh Steelers taking on the Denver Broncos. And this was a game where I know the Steelers are on the road, but they're only favored by 3.5 points. And I know the Broncos put up an impressive performance. They got a great defensive end. Bradley Chubb's got, 8 or 9 sacks. Von Miller's got 9 or 10 sacks this year. They can put pressure on the quarterback, but I would have thought this would be creeping 6-7, get you on that 7.5-point hook, because I think the Steelers are going to go in, and I think they're just going to outpace the Denver Broncos offense. I mean, I don't think Case Keenum can score points with this Pittsburgh Steelers offense. We've talked about it on past week, how much this Pittsburgh Steelers defense has improved. I think overall, the Pittsburgh Steelers are just a better team, and after coming back and getting a huge momentum win against the Jaguars last week, coming back in that fourth quarter and winning 20-16, I like the Steelers in this one. I think they're going to win by 3.5. Like I said, the hooks are killing us this week. So if you could take a teaser, buy that half a point. I definitely think the Steelers are going to win by a field goal this weekend against the Denver Broncos, Al.
Whoa, my God, people. That was a fucking nightmare for me last week. I was just sweating in my shorts. Pepper needs new shorts. Oh, God damn it. This fucking Jaguars defense, man, they were killing me. And this Broncos defense, they scare me a little bit, but not like the Jags defense because... You know, okay, so we've seen the Broncos beat the Chargers, yeah, and the Chargers defense has also been, you know, I would probably compare the Chargers defense to ours in a way, but you can't compare Rivers and his offense to Big Ben and his offense, because that's what it's going to pretty much come down to. It's going to come down to our offense outplaying Keenum and who else, Sutton, Emmanuel Sanders. I do like the shootout, though. Automatically, I don't know what the over is, but the shootout is going to be fine with me. And when I say shootout, I mean Keenum is probably going to literally shoot out as well. This ain't going to be no shootout like running games and all that. It's probably going to be a lot of passing touchdowns because this defense, the Steelers defense, their DBs are still letting up shit. You know, I seen a couple plays where Bortles had. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? It's Blake Bortles. You guys let this guy get this fucking throw off? So Keenum is definitely better than Bortles. I feel like he's definitely got better weapons than Bortles. So they might do a better job getting at our defense. But I think ultimately we're just going to take this win because we are overall the better team.
Yeah, the over-under is set at 47, but I'm going to have to go the other way from you, Al. I'm going to say it's going to be a similar game to what it was last weekend against the Jaguars, with the Denver Broncos defense being the only reason that they're going to be able to keep this game close. And I think the Steelers are going to break away in the fourth quarter, but we saw it last week against the Jaguars. The game was only 20-16. That hit the under. I'm going to go with the same recipe where the defenses keep it close for the first three quarters, but then the Steelers break out in the fourth quarter. But I don't know if that's enough points to cover that over of 47.
Well, see, I will lightweight agree with you, but the only thing that makes me disagree is the fact that the Jaguars DB core is a lot better than Denver's core. The only thing that's going to get Roethlisberger is sacks. Von Miller is probably going to rush that fucking offensive line pretty good. I don't deny that, but the fact that their DB core is nothing like the Jaguars DB core, I feel like Roethlisberger will have a better game, and I feel like he'll be more comfortable other than sitting in the pocket with that pressure.
Well, I think it's a good thing that you bring up the defense back for the Denver Broncos, because that's obviously going to be a matchup to watch with Chris Harris Jr. versus Antonio Brown. But on the other side of the ball, Bradley Roby, their second corner, he's actually in concussion protocol right now, so he's questionable for this week. So if he doesn't play, I'm looking for Juju Smith-Schuster to have a huge week opposite side of Antonio Brown getting all the coverage.
Yeah, I mean, even so, I don't want to speak as a Steeler fan, but I was already expecting Juju and Antonio Brown to have a game because, I mean, they already had, what, two or three games together where they pulled off 100 yards each. I feel like that's an underrated stat, by the way. I don't know where you see that with other teams. I haven't seen other teams where two receivers are getting 100 yards, maybe Stephon Diggs and Thielen, but Juju and Antonio Brown, they're just a vital success with Ben Roethlisberger. This is just domination fucking trio. This is the three musketeers right here. And then you add a little James Conner, who should be getting a way better performance against this defense. However, like I said, Von Miller can stop that. And who was the other DN for the
Bradley
Broncos?
Chubb.
Bradley
rookie.
Chubb. He's actually looking hot, too. So it's going to come down to who wants it more as far as the running game. But I'm not really worried about the passing game.
Yeah, not at all in the passing game. Like I said, the offense for the Steelers is just too much to match for Case Keenum and the Denver Broncos. Phillip Lindsay could get away on the outside. He could have a nice mismatch against your linebackers. But besides that, I don't think they're going to score too many points. And I'm definitely sticking with the Steelers to win this game by 3.5 points.
Also, look for our defensive line to get to Keenum at least 4 times this week. Don't deny that. I feel like Bud Dupree is just going to start shredding this offensive line and just get to Keenum at least 2 times. I'm not going to say it's going to be a sack, but just enough pressure is all we need for Keenum to throw a pick or just feel scared and throw it away.
Yeah, TJ Watt in there too, going up against Jared Valdir. I think that's a good matchup to watch. I mean, I just like all these matchups to watch for the Steelers. And if I'm going down a list of matchups to watch, I'm putting the check mark in just about every box from the Steelers matchup. So let's go ahead and stick with the Steelers minus 3.5 points this week. And then let's get into the primetime games as we get into Sunday Night Football. We got the Green Bay Packers going into Minnesota to take on the Vikings. The Vikings had a disappointing showing last week, lost to the Bears 25-20. Alan told you to take the Bears, so Alan won you some money right here on the Bears Golden Days podcast, but they'll be taking on the Packers this week, who lost on Thursday Night Football in a shootout against the Seattle Seahawks 27-24. This is an interesting one because the Packers are a little banged up. Jimmy Graham's got a broken thumb, but he's going to try to play. I mean, it's going to be hard when you're a tight end. I don't know if he's going to have one of those big casts on, if he can even catch, if he can even block. So we'll see what happens with Jimmy Graham, but Aaron Rodgers is going to need him because it's getting into desperation mode with the Green Bay Packers sitting at 4-5-1 now. The Bears won on Thanksgiving, so they're trying to run away with this division. The Packers got to win, and the Vikings obviously need a big win. But, hey, what did I say earlier in this year? Anytime you give me Aaron Rodgers plus the points, it's just too damn tempting. This Minnesota Vikings offense, honestly, they might have looked better last year with Case Keenum than they have this year with Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins has been up and down, and they haven't been able to run the rock at all this year. You would think with Dalvin Cook coming back and being healthy, they had success last year with Latavius Murray. Now that running offense has slowed down definitely. The Green Bay Packers defense has been playing a little bit better. Blake Martinez in the middle has been holding things down. They have been kind of beat up on the defense side of the backfield since they traded Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. So Thielen could have a big day. Diggs could have a big day. But I got to stick with Aaron Rodgers plus the points. You're going to give me Aaron Rodgers plus 3.5. Here we come with the hook again. Let's go ahead and protect ourselves with the hook. That way, if the Vikings do win by a field goal, we still win you some money right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast. So I'm going to go ahead and stick with Aaron Rodgers plus the points. Which way are you leaning in this game, Al?
This is probably the hardest pick of the week, honestly, for me. Because, like, look, the Vikings, we can't really take that much away from the Vikings last week. Because, in my opinion, I think the Bears' defense is the best defense of 2018. I mean, for like the past five or six games, they have gotten a turnover and a touchdown out of it.
Shit, the Bears have more interceptions this year than they've allowed touchdown passes against their defense.
I mean, this defense has just been looking so nasty, okay? They are looking like what the Jags looked like last year, Okay, that's what it is. The Bears are the new Jaguars this year. So let's not take away from the Vikings and Dalvin Cook because, first of all, you're not going to run on Khalil Mack in that line. It's not going to happen. So it's a tough one for me because, yeah, you don't want to not bet on Aaron Rodgers. We always said take Aaron Rodgers in the bet, especially 3.5. But with this being in Minnesota, you know what? The only reason I take the Green Bay Packers is because of that hook.
Yep.
That's the only reason why I'm going to take the Packers. But, you know, my gut is telling me Vikings, but my gut has been wrong before, and I'm not going to let that happen again. I got more trust in Aaron Rodgers than I do ultimately in this whole Vikings team. I do believe it's going to be a shootout, though. The over, what, 53 or?
Only 48.
Only 48? Are you kidding me? This fucking over is not even at 50. You got to take the over on that, people. Thielen and Diggs, one of them is bound to get a touchdown alone. And I feel like Dalvin Cook is going to have a way better game than he did last week. But I don't think they're going to have a good game enough against this Packers. I feel like Aaron Rodgers is going to do it. You know, a lot of people have been having some doubts in Aaron Rodgers. I don't like that. You know, it's not his fault that his team can't really perform overall. He's doing what he can do. He's not making bad throws. He's not making stupid decisions. He's doing what he can. He's not playing fucking defense, so he can't stop the goddamn offense. So, you know, we can't be knocking him like that. We got to stick with him on this fat hook. Let's just do it. We're going to stick with A-Rod, baby.
Yeah, especially like you said, with that hook, that's huge because I don't see the Vikings winning this game by more than a field goal. So if Dane Bailey trots out there, you're still protected by the points. And we got to remember, back in week two, this was a game that ended in a tie, 29-29. So you know these teams are going to be back and forth. You know it's going to be a close game. So why not protect yourself with the 3.5 points? And you're getting Aaron Rodgers plus the 3.5 points, one of the greatest quarterbacks of our generation. So yeah, I'm going to go ahead and lock in the Packers this week plus 3.5 points over the Vikings. And I'm right there with you, Al. I definitely see the over hitting of 48 points this weekend.
Yeah, man. I also want to talk a little bit about the Adam Jones kid. That kid, you know, he's looking pretty promising as a running back for Green Bay. And Green Bay has been looking for a running back since Eddie Lacy's fat ass. So, you know, I could see Adam Jones getting a screen touchdown, maybe two. I could see Devontae Adams racking hella yards, despite being Xavier Rhodes coming back in. He's been a full participant in practice. But yeah, this is going to be a shootout, and it's going to be Aaron Rodgers' successful shootout on that win.
Aaron Rodgers, Sunday Night Football. Shout out to Aaron Rodgers. He's donated over $1 million to the Northern California fire. So, I mean, obviously, we hope everybody's safe from the fires. If you lost your house, I mean, obviously, there's nothing you can do about it, but we pray for those everybody up in the NorCal fires, and we're praying for Aaron Rodgers to get us a win this weekend, plus 3.5 points over the Vikings. And let's go ahead and move on to our final game of the week, the Monday night matchup, another division game between the Tennessee Titans and the Houston Texans. The Houston Texans stayed hot last week and won over the Washington Redskins 23-21, while the Tennessee Titans, fuck, what did we tell you all year? The Tennessee Titans are either going to show up and ball out, or they're going to show up and lose. What did I say? Literally, word for word, I should just clip it from the last podcast. The Titans win games that they're not supposed to win, and they lose games that they are supposed to win. So whenever Vegas tells you one thing's going to happen, it's usually going to be the opposite. Even though the Texans are favored by 6.5, that means the Titans are supposed to lose. They could just show up this week and win, but I'm going to go ahead and stick with the Texans because the Texans have been one of the hottest teams since that Week 2 matchup where the Titans actually won 20-17. Shit, they won, what, 4 or 5 games in a row now? They have been red hot sitting with a 7-3 record, and they need to put the nail in the Titans' coffin. If they get this win this week, that's going to give them a 3-game lead in the AFC South. So I'm looking for Deshaun Watson to ball out on Monday night. Tennessee Titans, we don't even know if Marcus Mariota is going to be healthy enough to play Monday night. So, I mean, whoever's playing quarterback back there, he's got fucking J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney breathing down his neck. So especially if Mariota doesn't play, I definitely think the Texans are going to win by a touchdown this week over the Titans on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, Texans are definitely going to take this win, especially at home. I mean, look at the Colts defense. Colts defense ain't elite. They ain't top-notch. And they only put up fucking 10 on them. Mariota has just been looking like shit. And not only is he looking like shit, like Marcus said, he's probably not even going to play. So Texans are definitely going to take this because their defense is just going to shut this offense out. So I don't think I need to say more about that. What I really want to talk about more is I'm already automatically going to take the under on those points.
41.
I'm going to take the under because, you know, DeAndre Hopkins has been limited. Their new receiver, I don't even know how to say his name, so I'm not even going to say it. I'm not even going to bother. Kuti or whatever.
Kiki Kote.
Okay, we'll take that. He's also limited. So, I mean, if they're limited, then that means they're going to be kind of injured. So, I mean, I just don't see them putting enough work into where they're going to be balling out. Deshaun Watson is probably going to throw a couple touchdowns, but I just don't see it being over 41. It's just no. But the Texans are definitely going to walk away with this win automatically. This Titans defense, not really promising like I thought they were. And if Mariota's going to be out, then you got no choice but to take the Texans.
Yeah, no choice but to take the Texans. 6.5 points. Hey, that's a hook that's not screwing us over that much, because if they win by a touchdown, if you are real careful, you could take it and do the half-point hook on the teaser, like we said with all of our other picks. Get that down to 6 points. That's an even better bet. But, hey, if you're taking teasers this week, you should cover with that half-point spread. But, hey, we got faith. We still think the hooks are going to cover. We think we're going to win you some money like we always do right here on the Bays Golden Days podcast, because that is every single game from Sunday night to Monday night, the Sunday slate. We gave you the Thanksgiving shout out. I mean, what more could you want right here on the Bays Golden Days podcast? Because it's all for free. We're giving you free picks to win you some money. So hopefully we win you some money. Hopefully we win some money. And hopefully it's the Bays Golden Days, baby.
Hey, who said money couldn't buy happiness, huh? Because you know what? Our picks are going to buy your happiness. I'll tell you that right now, people.
You're damn right, and we hope you had a happy Thanksgiving this weekend. So, hey, spend some time with your family, spend some time with your friends, and spend some time watching some football, and spend some time winning some money watching football this weekend with the Bays Golden Days picks like we are here every single weekend, the Straight Cash Podcast. We're here for week 12. We'll be here for week 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Hell, we'll probably be back for the playoffs and the Super Bowl. We're going to keep on coming back, so keep on coming back and listening. So thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for subscribing. iTunes, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, everywhere you can get a podcast. You guys know the spiel. You can get it. Hell, you're already listening to the podcast, so you don't need to know where to find it. I mean, you can find us on Twitter, at social media, at Bays Golden Days. Check out our website, bgdsports.com. And until next week, you know what it is, baby. It's golden.
Golden. Golden. Golden. Golden.
Steady gold. Pony boy.